Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations. Online at shrm.org.
The price tag is up to who?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Who sets the price of a product? The company that makes it or the store that sells it? Today, the Supreme Court takes up that issue. From Washington, D.C., Marketplace's John Dimsdale looks at the arguments.
When Legion Leather Products discovered a Texas discounter selling their handbags cheaper than Legion's minimum, they cut the retailer off. The discount store sued, saying they were being punished just for being competitive. Lower courts, citing a 100-year-old law against price collusion between maker and seller, agreed. But manufacturers argue discount stores don't provide support services like education and repairs that more expensive stores do offer. The National Association of Manufacturers' Quentin Regal says too often customers don't buy from the specialty store where a salesperson educated them.
They got the service from the first store. They buy it from the cheaper store, and the first store is going to go out of business because they're not going to make any sales. Well, that's bad for the manufacturer.
The White House is backing the manufacturers, and antitrust experts say courts do seem more open to letting product makers set their prices. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Word this morning that a restructuring's in the works for Citigroup. The Wall Street Journal says it's likely to involve 15,000 job cuts and a charge against earnings of $1 billion. Citigroup CEO Charles Prince is facing mounting pressure to reduce expenses and drive up a stagnant stock price. Oil is fetching its highest price of the year this morning, just under $63 a barrel. What's with the spike? I talked about it this morning with our European Bureau Chief Stephen Beard.
Well, one factor in the rise has been this incident in the Gulf last week, the seizure of 15 British service personnel by Iran. This, however, is only one factor in a generally deteriorating picture. Over the weekend, the UN voted to slap new and tougher sanctions against Iran for its refusal to stop its uranium enrichment program. The Iranian president dismissed that on Sunday, saying it would not make Iran stop enriching uranium even for a second.
Now, there's no reason to believe the sanctions are going to stop the flow of oil
from Iran, no, but they raise the possibility that the situation may escalate and Iran might cut off or reduce some of its exports, which would obviously reduce supply and push up prices.
Stephen, oil supply seems to be down generally. What's up with that? Where is that coming from?
Well, it has just emerged that global inventories, that's stocks of oil, have this year fallen the most in a decade. This all flows from OPEC. Last month, as planned, it reduced output by 1 million barrels a day. So this, taken with last year's production costs, this is expected to further reduce supply and keep crude above the $60 a barrel level for the immediate future.
Thank you, Stephen.
Okay, Lisa.
That's European Bureau Chief Stephen Beard. You thought BlackBerry users were impossible now. Today, things are going to get worse. The New York Times is reporting that today a maker of mobile games is going to start supplying the BlackBerry. The company called Gameloft says now that new Crackberries have snazzier screens, they're appropriate for the action. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow is up 20. This is Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. Science and Technology Reports are supported by Boston Scientific, committed to delivering what's next in medical technology to help clinicians improve and extend lives. BostonScientific.com. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Calvert.com.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
What do you to do when your nice private investment company made about $10 billion last year because of all the smart decisions you made? Conventional wisdom says you don't blow the whole thing and expose yourself by going public. Well, clearly the private equity guys at Blackstone don't buy into conventional wisdom. Late last week, they filed for an IPO, and the fine print shows just how smart the Blackstone guys really are. Alan Sloan is Newsweek's Wall Street editor.
Hi, Lisa.
So I don't get it. Isn't a private equity fund a bunch of rich guys investing on their own in private? Why would you want to go public?
Well, if you read the document that the people at Blackstone have filed, you'll see why they want to go public, because they want your money.
Well, okay, it seems like a bit mirrors in the funhouse thing. I mean, why would I want to invest in a company that stock and trade is investing in other companies? I mean, that's a lot of risk, even for a daring girl like me.
Lisa, you are so cynical, so negative.
Let me explain this.
You're not investing in the companies Blackstone buys. You're investing in the part of Blackstone that gets the fees from the deals that Blackstone puts together.
Mm.
So they're very honest. They tell you, A, you're going to own actually a limited partnership rather than stock, which becomes very complicated for tax reasons. B, you're going to need to file an extension with the IRS every year because we'll never get you the forms in time. And C, you have no rights whatsoever because by agreeing to this, you agree to waive all of your legal claims against us for anything we do. But other than that, you're perfectly fine. So it would be great to have a piece of Blackstone. I'd love to have a piece of Blackstone. The question is, what is it worth? And I can't possibly figure it out from these filings.
Tell me why this guy is worth so much money and why everybody's been talking about this deal. I mean, this is a hot firm and they've made a lot of smart moves, right?
Right. Blackstone has put together some of the most successful deals ever, and they made a ton of money. The guys at Fortune named Schwartzman, the king of Wall Street, they're very smart. They're very, very good. And this is your chance to buy in. The only question, of course, is since these people have had impeccable timing, if they're selling, does this really mean that you should buy?
And that's something that we can't counsel people to do. We have to leave that to them.
Indeed. And besides, I don't really know.
Thank you so much. Get out the crystal ball, like we always say.
It's been a pleasure.
That's Newsweek's Alan Sloan in Los Angeles. I'm Lisa Napoli. Enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.